Amen. I want to say just right at the outset how grateful I am for Sounds of Life that are in the room. What a joy. And I remind all of you that we continue in the season of Lent, 40 days before Easter, not counting Sunday, where the church, not just us, the church around the world is remembering and rehearsing the story of God, the story of God's rescue. We are moving towards the climax of that story, the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this series that we are in is inspired by the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's titled The Story of God, The Story of Us, but the Jesus Storybook Bible is the inspiration for this series, and the subtitle here says, Every Story Whispers His Name. And of course, we're talking about Jesus. And when we say every story, we're talking about the Old Testament, even and especially. It all looks forward to the promised hope being fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus. And so 3 weeks ago, we were in Genesis 22 with Abraham and Isaac, a son whose life was spared. And we said another son was coming, Jesus, whose life would not be spared. 2 weeks ago, we were in Joshua, the book of Joshua, and that name of Joshua is a leader who brought God's people into the promised land. His name means the Lord saves, and he is the one who brought God's people into the promised land. But another leader was coming, Jesus, who would bring God's people into a greater promise fulfilled. Last week, we were with a young hero named David, a shepherd boy who faced a giant. But another young hero, Jesus, was coming to defeat an even greater enemy, sin and death. And again, throughout Scripture, we see the same pattern, a glimpse, a shadow, a whisper of the one who is coming. His name is Jesus. And this morning, we come to another story, a faithful servant, another impossible situation, a brave hero named Daniel, whose story becomes a part of ours. And if we look up here at this image of the Bible, this visual Bible, we see that second column is where Genesis 22 is, Abraham and Isaac. That's where we were. Then a few columns over, or one column over, we see Joshua, that first blue column. This morning, we are in that mauve column that's right before the black line between the testaments. Daniel is in exile in Babylon. And it wasn't long before the Persians defeated Babylon, and so now he's a captive of that country and kingdom, and that is where modern-day Iran is. But the scripture we read just a while ago reveals the rest of the story, and that's what we're pursuing. A law that was passed that made things pretty unbearable, uncomfortable, if you were a follower of God. We all know that laws shape behavior, and some laws seem strange and some feel unnecessary, but they have power because they determine the things that we can or cannot do. And in Daniel's day, there was a law that said, prayer is illegal, and if you break that law, it would cost you your life. Well, Daniel experienced that, and he didn't bat an eye. This scripture is a part of a larger story where he was imprisoned because of his faith and because he prayed despite the law. And if we see this whole chapter play out, we would see and we will see that it's not all bad. There is trouble in this text, but there's also grace in this text. And what was true then is true today. There's trouble in our world, but there's also grace in our world. And I think we see and experience both day in and day out. So we want to do that first in Daniel, considering both. The trouble in Daniel's story, we read right out of verse 16, He's thrown into the lion's den, but what makes it troubling is how Daniel got put there in the first place. Israel was carried off exiled to Babylon, there under Persian Empire rule, present-day Iran. And although they were captives, there were some Israelites who rose to positions of influence. Daniel was one of them. He was one of those officials who ruled, one of three who ruled over the entire land. And there were numerous governors, people under them, satraps, who reported to them. And Daniel distinguished himself above them all. Scripture says he had an excellent spirit within him. He was capable, wise, trustworthy. And King Darius had the mind to set Daniel over all of the land and everybody who was under him, the whole kingdom. Not surprisingly, that caused resentment in his colleagues. And they began to look for ways to undermine him, searching for negligence or corruption in Daniel's work. But they couldn't find any. And so they started to intensify their plot and thought, we can't capture him, catch him in his work. Let's try to trip him up in his faith. And their plan was simple. Let's flatter King Darius and persuade him to issue a decree that said for the next 30 days, no one could pray to any god or human except pray to King Darius himself, who'd set himself up to be like a god over the whole world. Anyone who violated that decree would be thrown into this den of lions. And the king liked that idea, especially the part about everyone directing their prayers towards him. So he signed that law into existence. But Daniel was a man of God. A man of prayer, and he was not playing the king's game. When time came around for him to pray, like he did three times a day from the upper room of his house, he didn't change his practice. Daniel prayed in verse 10, did what he had always done three times a day. And who should happen to pass by Daniel's home at just that time? The same men who persuaded the king to sign this law into existence. They saw Daniel praying through that window, and immediately they reported him to the king. They were careful about how they presented it, reminding the king of the law before revealing who had broken that law. And when Darius realized he'd been manipulated, he was deeply distressed. And he tried all day long to find a way to rescue Daniel, to set him free from this trap. But according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, once a decree had been issued, it couldn't be revoked, not even by the king. And so the king was forced to act, and Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, this pit that was dug deep into the ground. For all practical intents and purposes, Daniel had been sentenced to his death. And I think that seems so far removed from us that seemingly it's hard to relate to. But there are Christians in the world today that this is very up close and personal. It's a part of their daily reality. And that's the trouble that's in the world today. Just this past week, there were reports out of Iran that described a situation where war and persecution collide. One believer in particular named Sahar described the moment this way. She said, "This pain is like childbirth. It comes with distress, but we pray for it to bring life and freedom soon. Please keep praying. People here need hope. They need to know that there is a Savior." One of the early church fathers, Tertullian, said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And even in the present day, where Christians are being persecuted, the church is exploding. And it is a force to be reckoned with. When the persecuted church asks us to pray for them, they don't ask us to pray that the persecution would stop. They don't ask us to pray for an end to their suffering, they ask us to pray that they would suffer well, because they know the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the gospel. And the gospel is spreading like wildfire. Right now, there are Christians imprisoned in Iran simply because they love and follow Jesus. Some are being held in the Evin prison in Tehran, a place known for housing political and religious prisoners. Communication with them has been cut off. Food distribution disrupted. Prisoners being relocated to other parts of the country. And yet, the church continues to pray for health, for life, and for a freedom that only the gospel can provide. I wonder if we know that freedom ourselves. One Christian man said that in these days, he keeps returning to Psalm 94, which was the inspiration for our prayer time this morning, a psalm that names injustice honestly, but it also declares something deeper, that God sees, that God judges, that God will act. And God's activity is increasing the church. He's provided rescue for us. For believers in Iran, Daniel's story is not ancient history. It is their present reality. Because even now, there are men and women, I hope we are in that company, who refuse to stop praying even when the law says they must. Men and women who trust that the living God still shuts the mouths of lions. Men and women like Daniel. And the question before us this morning is simple. If that's what faithfulness costs them in Iran in Daniel's day, if that's what faithfulness costs them, what does faithfulness look like for us? Back in this scripture, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, the king cried out, "Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And then a stone was rolled over the opening of that den, and it was sealed by the king and his officials. And that night the king returned to his palace, but he couldn't sleep. He fasted and he refused entertainment. And he spent that night worrying about Daniel. And at the first light, he hurried back to that den and he cried out in anguish, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And now we're getting to the grace that's in the scripture. Verse 21, Daniel's reply, "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done nothing wrong." And the king was overjoyed. Daniel lifted out of the pit, not a single wound found on him. He trusted in his God, and God closed the mouths of the lions. And then the king ordered that the men who falsely accused Daniel be thrown into that pit, that same den of lions. And before they even reached the bottom, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. But that's not the point of this story. The greater point is not vengeance. The stories throughout this book are not merely heroic tales or snapshots of biblical characters and the lives of heroism. These stories show how God advances his kingdom through the faithfulness of his people. Scripture shows how God advances his kingdom through the faithfulness of his people. I wonder if any of his people are in the room. People like Sahar. People like Daniel. And you know the real threat that Daniel posed was not his obstinance to the law. It was prayer. The fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The fervent prayer of a righteous woman is powerful and effective. And you know good and well that because Daniel prayed, he was aligned with God and had clarity. And he saw signs and wonders, this groundswelling, this movement of God that pushed back against the culture and the kingdom of the Persian Empire. And I wonder if there's any threat that we are making with the living of our lives to the empires of our days, the darkness and the physical, earthly, human. Daniel's deliverance was only a shadow that was to come. This greater story, one day, another brave hero would come. In his name, Jesus, who experienced injustice as laws were twisted to arrest him, sentencing him to death. And unlike Daniel, he was not spared suffering. His body was torn, his flesh wounded, and he endured the punishment that we all deserved. Jesus, it was heaped on him. Before any of that happened, he said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord, and I have the power to take it up again." That's exactly what he did. The third day, he was raised from the dead. And as he was, Jesus appeared to over 500 of his followers for a period of 40 days. Then he ascended. And when the time was right, he poured out his Holy Spirit into the hearts of those who believe. Men and women who realize their need, they repent and receive this gift of God's presence, because we've tried it again and again, and it's the definition of insanity. Hopeless against all these things, I'm trying to fight on my own, sin and struggle, and so I surrender it to you. I receive freedom from those things. I receive salvation only in Jesus' name. Through his death and resurrection, God's kingdom has come, and it is now here, and we are invited as participants to be involved in what God is doing in the world, in Tyler, Texas, Smith County, and all the way around. That's the grace that's in the world today. And it's so much more than deliver me from my persecution. It's help me to suffer well. Help me to live well. Help me with clarity to be in sync and in tune with you, because what we're really after is responsiveness to the Lord as he leads. So the challenge to us, it comes from Scripture, from Daniel himself. It's not our responsibility to administer or distribute justice. It is on us to be faithful. In all places, at all times, in all things, justice belongs to God. Our calling is faithfulness. Scripture, way back in Genesis, Scripture declares, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" He is doing right and invites us into that. God's kingdom breaking into the world through the faithfulness of his people. Our task, not to control the outcome. Our task is to remain faithful. And I pray that God would raise up an army who don't bat an eye at circumstance or sin or struggle or society or suffering. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. Let it be by the presence and the power of Christ in you and me. Lord, this is our prayer. And we are thankful, God, that there was another brave hero to come and make it all possible. Lord, we are thankful for your faithfulness to us. Help us to be faithful to you by the person, work, presence, and power of Christ in us. Come, Holy Spirit. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.